is from Micah 6, 8 and Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Micah 6, 8. He has told you, human, what is good and what the Lord requires from you, to do justice, to embrace faithful love, and to walk humbly with your God. Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Now Jesus saw the crowds, and he went up a mountain. He sat down, and his disciples came to him. He taught them, saying, "Happy are the people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are the people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are the people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are the people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are the people who show mercy, because they shall receive mercy. Happy are the people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are the people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are the people whose lives are harassed, because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you."
613. That's the number. That's the number of commandments found in the Torah. The Torah is a name given for the Jewish scriptures. My dear friend Rabbi David is an expert on the Torah. It's either the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, or it's the entire Old Testament, depending on the sect of Judaism. But 613, that's the number. Not just the 10 that we Christians fight about on whether or not they should be put up on school walls or public square monuments. 613, that's the number. Today's scriptures coming around in the Common Lectionary, which I talked a little bit about a week or so ago. This Common Lectionary is a 3-year cycle of scripture, which sort of prevents pastors who follow that from just preaching on their favorite verses. Luckily enough, these are two of my favorite that come along every 3 years. So I figure if I preach on them and I'm in ministry 30 years, I'll get to preach on it 10 times. But to give a little scripture overload, I'm going to add a few more before our time together is up. Let's begin, though, with those Beatitudes, the ones that Lynn read from Matthew 5, known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's important in the element, if you saw this pattern of blessed or happy, Jesus is once again reversing the common thought, revising the description of who's in and who's out, not in an exclusive way, but rather in a way that while we all are welcome and encouraged to follow this path of the teaching of Rabbi Jesus, indeed, it is not always easy. The writer of Matthew writes, "Poor in spirit, well, communion with God is yours for the asking. Mourning, God will comfort you. Meek, oh, it's those meek ones really who changed the world. Those who work for righteousness, you'll be fulfilled with life. Those who forgive and extend mercy will receive the same from God." That ought to make us a little nervous. For doesn't it say we have to forgive and give mercy in order to get it back? pure in heart, meaning that their actions should be from a sincere heart. And if their actions are from a sincere heart, they will experience God, unlike those who are out for just themselves. Peacemakers, the writer says, God will acclaim them. Those persecuted, falsely accused, uttering evil against you, reward is from God. And the writer of Matthew didn't say this. In fact, my wife says it often. Living well is the best revenge.
Amen.
Jesus teaching here on this Sermon on the Mount, the characteristics of a true follower and the willingness to go against the grain, not for argument's sake, but to challenge things that are unjust and unfair. Even when it's tough, even when others second guess actions or question good intentions. Listen to me, church. God knows our heart. And when our heart is pure and our life seeks to be in line with God's will and purpose, even when we fall short, God will stay close to us and guide us. But at the end of the day, when we lay our heads on the pillow at night, God knows our heart. Important lesson that Jesus was teaching disciples here in the Sermon on the Mount. Sometimes hard to follow. I learn lessons from Scripture, and I often learn lessons from experiences, and many times from others, some of whom I don't know personally. One of those folks is Ann Curry. She's always been a favorite journalist of mine. Ann has focused much of her life and profession on humanitarian issues and reporting for the war zones. Now, many of us who follow her career know that her dismissal from the NBC Today show was not very much fun. For after over 25 years of dedicated service, she was dismissed in a painful way, her tearful goodbye for the world to see. Recently, we know that the co-host of that show was also released, Matt Lauer. In the wake of accusations from women that he behaved inappropriately. And many people went to Ann Curry immediately, and Facebook blew up and Twitter blew up saying, I bet Ann Murray is somewhere saying karma is a witch. People magazine interviewed Ann Curry, and she talked about how difficult that was, and People.com has the extensive interview, but I was really moved, and it seemed to me that Ann Curry might be sitting somewhere on that mountain along with the disciples as she talked about how she recovered from that incident. Asked about how she moved on, and said, I had to let go. And I learned that when you not only let go, but open your arms wide and learn the lessons as an experience, no matter how bad, can teach you. That's when you rise. I can say I'm stronger now, I'm smarter, I'm happier, happy as I've ever been. And my compassion has only grown. When you go through pain and learn lessons, you will be changed for the better. That's a number. Oh, I switched a bit from that's the number to that's a number, right? For many Christians, the number is what? 10. I got to be honest and tell you, church, that I've grown weary of all the numbers and all the rules and all the doctrine. I've grown weary. See, I think that the gospel can be summed up in a different number, and it's the number 3. And I call it nutshell gospel. And I think I have some basis for that. From the Old Testament and from the New Testament. So folks who are Jewish brothers and sisters who hold on to the Old Testament, and Christians, which we should all follow all of it, but man, we've heard, have we not, the New Testament, can't use the word Trump, but the New Testament overshadowed the Old Testament. Not so much. Go with me here a minute. My favorite scripture, as I said, in all the world is Micah 6:8. And I appreciate my wife, Brenda, for, she says, just get what you want and say it's from me, because I always want to get what I want. So she said, get that stole. And on the inside of the stole, I've shared with you all some before, it has the scripture of Micah 6:8. You see, I think it's nutshell gospel, and I like this scripture so much because it's the number 3. Love justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. If you go back to, that was the prophet Micah that said that, and Micah heard that from God after saying to God, we're doing all the right things, God. We're playing by the rules here. We're doing the sacrifices the way you say. We're going to the temple. We're letting people in and out like the rules say. We're doing it all. And he heard God say, that just sickens me. And Micah said, what do you want us to do? And he hears God say, be kind, work for justice, and be humble. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. Amos was also a prophet. Had the same discussion with God so he could prophesy to the people, Hebrew people, and listen to what he heard from God. I despise your festivals. And I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. That's probably where the Pentecostals came from. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Now understand, friends, burnt offerings and grain offerings in the ancient community, big deal. It was their food. That was their livelihood that they would give. And God says, I don't want them. I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That's the First Testament. I think the number's 3. And I call it nutshell gospel. From Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Now remember, these were Jewish people. So their number was what? 613. So they said to Jesus, teacher, out of the 613, which is the greatest? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your might. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On this commandment hang all the law and the prophets. The Gospel of Luke must have heard something similar. Just then a lawyer stood up, chapter 10 of Luke. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, "What's written in the law? What do you read there?" And Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." I think the number's three. Because friends, here's the deal. I don't care what church you go to, what denomination you claim, whether you claim to be liberal, conservative, who you vote for. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Buddhist or Christian or Hindu or Native American. See, I think that what the Old Testament said from God and the New Testament said from Jesus is there are three. And I was struggling with this when I was finishing seminary. Like, whoa, I am a person who's being committed to social justice. I'm a person who really does believe in interfaith work, not just to welcome them, but I really think their past just as valid as mine. I just happen to have a different one. Christianity works for me, but I don't think it's the only one. I know that makes some of you nervous, and that's okay. I had this discussion with my mom once. My great-grandmother was a full-blooded Cherokee, and I said, "Mom, do you think she was Christian?" Because she wasn't. Native Americans worshiped the sun god and the moon god and the rain god and the fertility god. And see, friends, I think God's big enough for all of us. So they say, "Well, Pastor, you're a Christian minister." Absolutely, unashamedly. Well, what do you do with the cross? And it hit me like a ton of bricks, Deb Core and Pamela Miller, in that last semester of systematic theology, Kenny. Woo! It did hit me one day. It was an epiphany. Boom. I remembered Micah and Amos and Matthew and Luke. And I remembered, what was the first commandment? Love God with all you have. And I thought about that Rabbi Jesus. And it seemed to me in looking at his life that he loved God with everything in him. And then it says, love others and there's a third part in there. Love yourself. See, I think that Jesus, the Christ child, gave us the perfect example of what it is to live in perfect union with what God calls you to do. And I think Jesus, the Christ child, gave us the perfect example of how to love others even when it is not easy or comfortable or convenient. And in doing so, Jesus gave us an example of the love he had for himself. When I look at the cross, it's the number of three. Love God. Love myself so I can love others. It's the number of three. Be kind. Do justice. Be humble. And Curry had something else to say. I've always thought of journalism as a service profession. I'm in it to give, not to get. Experience has taught me as a journalist, the number one thing you have to be is humble. It's not about you. I've always thought of being a Christian as a service. I'm in it to give, not to get. Experience has taught me as a Christian the number one thing you have to be is humble. It's not about me.